listen to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I have my mic really loud.
Yeah, that was very loud. If you're not, if you weren't awake before,
we'll call it Wide Awake Wednesday.
You are awake now
because I have the microphones way too loud today.
I mean, better than not having them on at all, I guess.
It is a fun day. We have studio guests, which means real people in the flesh here to talk with us about something really awesome, and that is music.
That might be. I think that's on my list of favorite things. My really long list.
Particularly hymns. Yes. You like hymns, so
I do, like hymns.
Do too. I say it like I don't like hymns, but I do.
You
love
definitely
hymns.
Do.
So we like hymns. We like music, and great musicians in the house today to talk about making great music and teaching how to make great music that shares the good news of Jesus. In studio with us today, we have friends from St. Paul's Music Conservatory in Council Bluffs, Iowa. So glad to have you all in studio this morning. Pastor Nate Sherrill, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And Pastor Tim Frank. Glad to have you here today.
Good morning, Andy. Nice to be here.
And Claire Hauser, is that right?
That's correct.
Claire, so glad to have you in studio and learn more about the Music Conservatory, St. Paul's Music Conservatory. Who would like to share, share with us a little bit about the history? How did the conservatory get started?
Well, I'll take a stab at that, Andy. We started roughly 10 years ago with two individuals in our congregation that were interested in teaching private lessons as a mission outreach and a service in our community. One happened to be my wife, Tina, teaching piano, and another member of ours, a great guitarist, Mike Rollins. And these two servants in our congregation just started teaching kids music lessons, and one thing led to another, and there were people lining up. Lots of individuals saw it as a great gift to the community and our congregation. And we began thinking, gee whiz, what are we going to do with all these people? One day we were standing in the hallway and I looked at them and I said, you know, guys, we need to start a music conservatory. It looks like music is a very important thing to a lot of people around here. So from those humble beginnings over a decade ago to today, we've developed and expanded and are really promoting things to the point where we have 12 faculty now. We have called an associate pastor who's also the local administrator of our conservatory. He's sitting right over there, Pastor Tim Frank. We now have a development director, Claire Hauser, who's with us here. She's on her way to deaconess school at Fort Wayne, Indiana. And we're just really excited to be sharing God's gift of music, not only in our context, but all around the country.
So this is obviously a place where kids learn how to play instruments or sing, but it's more than just that, isn't it?
Exactly. So we're concerned, we want to serve families by offering these lessons, but in serving families, we form relationships with these students and their families, and we're able ultimately to share the gospel, and that's our overall goal.
So what does that look like for a family? How do they find out about St. Paul's Music Conservatory, and why are they coming to St. Paul's Music Conservatory?
Primarily, so far, we've advertised by word of mouth. Families happy with our lessons have told their friends, and in many cases, our studios have been full. And as we've continued to grow, we've continued to reach out into the community. And that has been a great area of engagement as well as we make those connections.
Tell me about the music that students are learning at St. Paul. Are there what types of musicians, what instruments, voice, what's being studied
sure.
at the conservatory?
Our backbone has been piano and guitar, although we have our organ teacher who is full of students and traveling and teaching lessons not just at our conservatory, but throughout eastern Nebraska, western Iowa. Dr. Christensen, Dr. C as he's known, great blessing in that. Our lessons are tailored to the individual needs of the student, so often using a method book, standard method book, but also incorporating our Hymns of the Season book, which was recently produced with the intention of giving students hymns that they can play at their level so that they can participate meaningfully in worship.
So you talk about, you mentioned kids participating in worship. What other opportunities do these kids have as they're learning, as they're working through learning more and more about how to perform the music, but also the meanings of the music? What opportunities do they have to use these skills either at your own congregation or in the area?
So one of our big points in relation to the conservatory is development. And one of the opportunities that's unique in, for example, youth sports is you can be a three-year-old soccer player that plays the game without practicing. You cannot be a musician who performs without practicing. And a lot of times musicians and young musicians practice, and practice some more, and it gets sort of tiring and burdensome, and that's where the questions, Mom, do I have to do this, come up, right? And we've all probably been there. So you hit on a very important point, Sarah. We believe that the kids need regular performance opportunities. It's like game day. They need to play, guys. They need to play. They need to perform. And so we engage the students in meaningful performance opportunities that are not only good for them from a developmental sense, but also are a show of mercy to the recipients. Obviously, you can kind of imagine some of those settings. We actively integrate children in our local nursing homes. We take them to the homeless shelter. It's a beautiful story about a program called the Christmas Giveaway at our local homeless shelter, where our conservatory students play Christmas music for all of the homeless people that come. We're in museums, we're in stores, we're in businesses, we're doing all kinds of things to give the kids an opportunity to perform, and obviously not least of which is in the liturgical context or the congregational context. So we intentionally place children in performance, quote-unquote performance opportunities, in the life of our congregation that they might see themselves as an active part and a meaningful and important part of our congregational life. And of course, you can imagine the response of the people, their peers, even grown-ups sitting there in the, after church, realizing, oh my goodness, you're 7 years old, and you just played something very meaningful that enhanced our worship, and we recognize the potential that exists there within you, something maybe we never would have thought of before. We believe that's a significant component in the development of young musicians, is that they have an opportunity to perform and really feel good about that. And then that kind of instills a culture within the conservatory where others say, oh my goodness, did you see so-and-so got to play at the historic General Dodge House Museum? I want to do that, right? So there's sort of this good modeling and mentoring that happens with that.
Absolutely. Claire, why is this conservatory important for you as development director? And then, and also going into deaconess studies, why is this important to you? And what do you think you can take with you as you continue on as a deaconess?
Well, the unique thing that I've noticed at St. Paul's is with our over 100 students and 12 faculty, teaching music and teaching the gospel through music is such a wonderful gift. Mm-hmm. And so St. Paul's doesn't just want to do that locally. We're trying to help churches do that, across the country and possibly even, overseas and everything. So that's the biggest takeaway, is this isn't just, we're doing this locally. We're trying to teach music, which is just a universal, wonderful thing. And with the gospel, paired with the gospel, just amazing. Trying to help churches do the same thing that we're doing and showing them that this is possible, teaching music and teaching music and reaching out in this way is such a gift. So I hope to bring this, mm-hmm. just the idea of sharing the gifts that your church has, sharing that with the other communities, and helping them do the same thing. So,
Pastor Cheryl, you mentioned earlier that the conservatory is it's part of the parish ministry. This is a part of parish life for St. Paul's. Tell me a little bit more about this idea, this model of a parish-based music conservatory, and how that's unique to perhaps other music conservatories or other settings for learning music?
Well, one uniqueness of the parish-based conservatory is that, or presently, I should say, is that it goes back to something that's very historic and very sort of standard in the Lutheran Church. Years ago, we all know about the Reformation. We all know 1517 and the 95 Theses and all that. We also maybe know things like A Mighty Fortress. Yeah, Martin Luther wrote that and Lutherans sing that and so on. We may not remember the significant position music played in the spread of the gospel and in the clarifying of the gospel and in the confession of the faith and so on. In fact, it's said that one of Luther's first hymns was a ballad that was written and sung place to place. And the way that the individuals from place to place heard the information, this news contained in this ballad, was that it was sung village to village, place to place. Music is a significant form of communication, and in those early reforming years, it was music especially, and the arts as well, but especially music that really clarified and the gospel, and it gave the people, right, gave the people a voice. And so that's the same theme that we're after today, and it's not just the people generally speaking, but in the parish-based music conservatory, we have four-year-olds and five-year-olds who are not Christians, whose families know the value of music, and they want their little kids to learn from these people in this place. And as they learn, we are setting on their tongue and in their hearts the gospel message, which they maybe never heard before. They're learning as they're learning their music. And there's this development within them that, oh my, this music is fine and great and dandy. You mentioned hymns. It's kind of a hilarious thing that, you know, Lutherans have certain impressions about various music and so on. But if you know nothing about the church and you walk in and you set a book in front of the kid and you say, hey, we're going to play this and we're going to play this and we're going to play this, and you're done with the lesson, well, they don't know the difference between a hymn or a whatever else they're playing, right? When they're in the parish setting and you place, for example, our piano book in front of them that is a confession of the gospel, they're lapping that up. And that's the people from the outside, but then also from inside. It's a great development of our own children who are going to church and recognizing that they can actively participate in, as I said before, the life of this congregation. The significance of the parish basis is that it takes everything that you want to get out of your church, and it gives you a vehicle for that gospel expression.
We're just about out of time. I want to give our listeners an opportunity to find St. Paul's Music Conservatory and some of the resources you have available as well. And I also have to point out that to stay tuned this fall, this and Advent, particularly Advent and Christmas, you'll be hearing music from St. Paul's Music Conservatory here on KFUO. How can we find out more about St. Paul's? Who wants to?
Our website is stpaulsmusicconservatory.org. Also, our Facebook page, look for St. Paul's Conservatory there. Or they can call us at 712-322-8832.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan Sherrill, St. Paul's Music Conservatory in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Thank you so much for being our guest today. Pastor Tim Frank, St. Paul's local administrator, thanks so much for being with us. And Claire Hauser, the director of development for the conservatory, thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you,
Andy.
More to come. Stick around for more Wednesday Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.